Blog Talk Radio.
With our arms open.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, this is a beautiful Tuesday night tonight. God make all things beautiful. Amen. We want the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh on us. And the only way that can happen is that we have to surrender fully to his will. Amen. Amen. So tonight, we're going to be talking about getting to know God is serious kingdom business. This is Apostle Gamble for End Time Deliverance Ministry with my very own husband, Elder Gamble, Elder Flynn Gamble. Amen. He's going to be expounding also on this series. This is a series because the Spirit let us know, because in these times that we're in, the church, which is the body of Christ, half of us have been caught up in a religious system where we feel like if we just know just a little bit about God, then we know God. Then we know how the kingdom is granted, and we know how everything gets started up. But, you know, I just want to enlighten you. Whatever measure that you meet in the Word of God, that is the measure that you will receive 30-fold, 40, or 100. So whatever you put into it, that's what you're going to get out of it. So I just want y'all to be attentive tonight to the Word of God. Amen. We're going to be teaching tonight. We're going to be taking our time and letting His Word marinate in our spirit just as well as your spirit and your spirit. Because we want God to be glorified through this broadcast. Nothing less, amen, but more. And so in order to know about God kingdom business, it takes a person that has a God-fearing heart, amen. And so God-fearing is one of the main principles that is engrafted in this topic. So for no longer do, amen, before I have my husband to come forth, we're going to leave 10 minutes of the show, or the broadcast, excuse me, of the broadcast for questionings or prayer requests. We get 10 minutes at the end of the show. If anybody want to ask questions or anything concerning this topic, or they need prayer concerning about their growth, in their development. I just want you to know, before we can actually grow, we have to be cultivated. Amen. We have to be cultivated by God's Spirit, and that comes with having a listening ear to the things of God. And then after that listening ear, God deposited that in your spirit, which is your belly, your inner man. And when God deposited that word within you, then you begin to grow. God begins to bring revelation. Most of all, he begins to bring wisdom, and he begins to bring knowledge, understanding, enlighten us, oh God. Help us to unlearn what we have learned. Because see, some of us are still, we still have old religious roots that need to be plucked up and need to be rooted up by the Spirit of God. And the only way those roots can come up that are not of God, you must have a heart to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to all of us, not just one in particular person. Amen. Because Jesus died for all, to all of us. Amen. So no longer for due. Amen. I'm going to bring forth my husband, Elder Flynn Gamble. He's been really soaking this word, I'm telling you, and he's been basking in God's glory. So as he come forth, let God begin to show you how you need to do in his kingdom so that you can reach your full potential in his word. Amen. Come on, honey.
Amen. Amen. As my wife, Apostle Gamble, just said, serving God is serious business. Amen. And tonight, I'm going to take my time and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you what he has spoken to me today. In the last week or so, he was dealing with me concerning the fear of God. God has said so many in the church, in the body of Christ, have lost the fear of God. And tonight we're going to truly go into the fear of God and let the scripture speak to us. How many of us know that scripture interprets scripture? Amen. If we want to know what the word of God or what God is speaking, all we have to do is go to his word. I've heard so many say, man, I wish the Lord would speak to me like he speak to so-and-so, of this brother, of this sister. The Lord is always speaking. He gave us 66 books. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk a little concerning the fear of God. Amen. And this is a really, really serious, serious matter. Our base scripture, our foundational scripture, I might say, is taken from Proverbs. Scripture, and have that scripture in your spirit, you will stand on it. Amen. Amen. So learn to always have your Bible with you in church, in Bible study. Always, always have your scriptures, have your pad, a writing pad, and have a pencil, and sometimes even have a highlighter to write these scriptures down so you can go home for yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, amen, the truth of the word, amen. Let us get to the scripture. The scripture reads in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Scripture became so personal to me around about 18 years ago. I was a disobedient child. I got into a lot of trouble, in and out of jail, in and out of prison.
Yes.
I didn't respect my parents. Amen. I didn't have a real fear of my parents, and we'll get to that in a minute. But after I received a 20-year sentence in the Department of Correction in the state of Florida, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And God gave me a personal revelation concerning this scripture. Let me repeat it again. Let me read it again, I might say. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I knew that I didn't want to go back to what I used to be and what I used to do. I feared what would happen to me if I would turn back to the world and leave God. So the fear of me going back out there, and the only way that I could keep myself, really, I couldn't keep myself. The only way that I knew that I would be secure and be safe from going back into the world was to be obedient to God and fear God, a reverence for God. Because God kept me through all types of evil, all type of drug abuse, all type of things of the world he kept me from. And I understood the revelation that God's word and obeying his word and reverencing him, it was for my good. It was to protect me. Amen. I remember a revelation God gave me. Like my wife said, we're just going to take our time a little bit. See, the word of God tells us obedience is better than sacrifice. I remember a revelation that God gave me. Say, in a certain community, a pet bull got loose, a real bad pet bull got loose. And that pet bull had mauled two or three little children out there playing. Had to rush them to the hospital and had to get stitched up with stitches because the dog hurt them pretty bad. Glory be to God, he didn't kill. But they didn't catch that dog yet. And so a certain father told his son around about 9 years old. He said, son, don't go outside. Don't go outside because they haven't caught that dog yet and I don't want nothing to happen to you. See, his father gave him instructions. But he looked out the window, this little boy. He ain't even worried about his football. Football been in the yard for two or three weeks out there. But he looked out that window. How many of us know that's how sin does? When God tells us not to do something, that sin nature in us arouses us up to want to go contrary to God's word.
Yeah.
But watch. The little boy saw the football. He thought, I got to go get my football. Ignoring the instruction of his father, he ran out the door to get this football. And when he went out this door, the pit bull jumped on him. He screamed and he hollered. His daddy came out and they beat the dog off him and brought him in. But if the little boy would have listened to his daddy, he would have been protected. If he would have reverenced and respected his father, he would have been protected. So now, as this little boy grows older and older, he reverenced, he feared going out. He feared now disobeying his father.
Yes.
Because he knew the last time he disobeyed his father, he almost got killed. And that's what God is telling us in this scripture. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So many times my earthly father gave me worldly wisdom that would benefit me, but I didn't pay him any attention. And I paid the consequences. So like I told you, this scripture now, I apply it to my life. No, I fear of going back to that world. I fear disobeying my God in the name of Jesus. But let's go to another scripture. Then I'm going to read something to you. A scripture similar to have the same application as that scripture is Job 28:28. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Amen.
Amen.
Wisdom, godly wisdom, to depart from evil. The Bible tells us to be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What does light have to do with darkness? God wants us to reverence and respect and fear him. Amen. Let me read this to you. I want to read it from the Living Translation. The black one. I want to read this verse to you from the Living Translation. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 1:7. Amen. Amen. And as we go along with this study, my wife going to interact with some questions. She and I going to share together. Amen. Proverbs 1:7 in the Living Translation reads this, the New Living Translation. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of truth, of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipling. You know, we got so many in the church now that so don't reverence God. Want nobody to tell them anything.
Amen.
But see, but God has an order in his church, in the body of Christ. I remember the time before I read what I have to read, that we would walk by a church, young boys, and they would be having services, and we walked through the yard, we would stop talking. You know, the minister now in so many of our churches be bringing forth God's word, and sometimes we be in the church having our own little private conversation.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
That's not a, see, we lost as a whole, not everyone. We have lost our reverence and fear of God.
Yes.
Amen. This series that me and my wife, God placed on our spirit, we're going to take our time with it, and we're not in a hurry. Amen. I remember, oh, glory, and I want to get to this part. I remember when my father would give us instructions, me and my brothers. And like I told you, I was a very disobedient child. Amen. And I would do something, maybe at school, or go into the five and dime cent store and steal some candy or some bubble gum. And a word would get back to my mama, or someone would take me home to my mama. And my mama said, when your daddy, I done call your daddy. When your daddy come home, he gonna tear your butt up. He gonna whip your boy because you know better. You know your me and your daddy didn't raise you up like that. And a fear would come over me. I would be so scared. Oh, I couldn't look like I couldn't do nothing. I began to cry before daddy even got home because I know he was gonna whip me. But you know what? I knew my father loved me. I knew he loved me. I knew what I did made him angry and disappointed him. Why? Because he could see down the road. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
He knew what I was doing was leading me down a road of destruction, to be locked up, and ultimately it did happen in prison, or could have got killed. And this is what God is saying to us. Reverence me. Follow my word and my instructions. Because I know what is ahead of you if you do not reverence me and obey me. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to, amen, read something here. Amen.
Come on.
For you. Listen to me. Praise be to God. The people who were delivered from Egypt. We know when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea. Hallelujah. And they walked on dry land. Praise God. From Egypt, saw God's great power, feared the Lord, and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. That's Exodus 14:21. There is more involved here. Come on, y'all. There is more involved here than mere psychology, psychological fear, I meant to say. And we're going to talk about that as time go on.
Yeah.
The people also showed proper honor. Oh, glory. Reverence for God and stood in awe. Of him and of his servant as their song demonstrates. After experiencing the thunder, lightning, flashing, sound of the trumpet, and smoking mountains, they were afraid and drew back. But Moses stood, told them, do not be afraid, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face. that ye sin not. Exodus 20:20. In this passage, the word represents fear or dread of the Lord. This sense is also found when God said, fear not.
Amen.
Fear, reverence, can be used absolutely with no direct subject, meaning to be afraid. Adam told God, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself, Genesis 3:10. To do something as when Lot feared to dwell in Zoar. Amen. You see, I want to now touch this word a little bit, this word awe, in the name of Jesus. I just thank God. Amen.
Yes. Move on.
Amen. But before we go there, thank you, Holy Spirit. I was telling you how I feared my father. Amen. But he was coming home to chastise me because he loved me. And when, as I was doing this studying, God brought that to me. Amen, church.
Amen.
He brought Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. And these verses will speak for themselves. Therefore, we also, since we... No, let's start at verse 5. Amen. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastising of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastising, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Let's pause there for a second. Now, it would have sounded kind of crazy to my daddy if somebody in his town would have called him by somebody else's son, wouldn't it? And my daddy said, you better tell his parents. Well, we're telling you. You want you to come over here and tell. He would have probably got in some trouble chastising somebody else's son. Huh? Amen. See, this is a sure sign that God loves us. God chastises us because he loves us. If God don't chastise us, you need to check yourself. We need to check our salvation. Now, I'm not, there's a difference in God chastising and you being tormented by the enemy.
Yeah.
It's a difference. See? That's what you call abuse. Amen. And we'll get to that in a minute. I want to talk about the unhealthy fear. We pick it up in verse 8. But if you are without chastising, of which all have become partakers, which all of us, the body of Christ, have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not son. But if you are without chastisement, you are illegitimate. King James said, you are a bastard. Amen. Furthermore, we have had human fathers. Remember, I was talking about my father, who corrects us, and we paid him respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Amen?
Amen.
Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Painful. Yeah, it hurt when you're getting that beating. Boy, looking at someone say, I'd rather for a man or my daddy to whip me than God whip. Boy, when God getting to put it on you. God hurt you. God, I put it all on your heart. God will make you feel so bad. I remember a time, hallelujah, that I thought it was small thing. I talked to a, it was a brother, and I wanted some money when I was in prison for my little canteen for those who were there. But you can relate, I wanted to get a little something to eat, and I didn't have any money. So I said, well, I'll write one of my Christian brothers who come into prison and see can I get a few dollars from him. And I didn't pray about it, and I asked him for a few dollars. And he sent me that money. But you know, I told him a little lie. Ain't no little lie. I told him a lie. Glorify God and shame the devil. And you know what? The fear of God came over me. Because God said, why did you lie to your brother? And I went, I said, Lord, if you get me out of this, something came up. And I said, Lord, if you get me out of this, Lord, I won't do it again. Lord, please get me out of this. Please, Lord. But for about 2 or 3 days, the hand of the Lord was heavy on my spirit. And I felt so bad. I had to make that thing right with my brother. Amen. So I thank God for his chastisement. Amen. Let's go a little further. We're going to bring it around. Amen. We're about to go on break, and we're going to talk about for a minute about unhealthy fear. Because there's a very thin line between the fear of God and the fear of demonic suppression, depression, and influence. Amen. We'll be back in a minute.
Amen.
Doing all right, babe?
Devil, you better lose this.
Do you make Christian music and you want to release it online without paying hefty yearly fees? Your best choice is GodTunesMusic.com. Sign up, upload your music, and reach the world. GodTunes distributes all genres of Christian music to over 300 top online music portals like iTunes, Spotify, Amazon MP3, or Beatport. Sign up now and take your music to the next level. GodTunesMusic.com, the largest Christian music digital distributor on the web.
Sacrifice. If you
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, we want God to fill us up. And that's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. That's why getting to know God is serious business, kingdom of business. For the carnal things cannot comprehend to the deep things of God, for it is foolishness unto man. And that is when man that is religious, that does not have God's spirit or operate in the spirit of God, but is the enmity against the things of God. So getting to know God the way that God wants us to know him, it is a process. It is a process. Can somebody say that tonight? It is a process.
It is a process.
Amen. It's not going to happen overnight, saints. But that is why God created the spirit of endurance, perseverance, faith, push forward, pressing. And a lot of us, you know, we don't really want to do, we don't really want to exercise those godly tools. We just want it to be handed to us on a silver platter, gold, brass, bronze, whatever level you are on in the spirit realm. So that's why I was saying that like that. I just, you know, my heart desire is for what God wants for me. You know, I used to not have a heart desire for what God wants for me. I wanted what I thought, what was appeasable, fitting for me. It's just like a pair of skin tight jeans that fitted me, you know, and they fitted me. And they make me feel good when I walk in them. Well, God was telling me something totally different. I need you to put on this dress code right here, because this is the one that I have created for you. And we are putting on the robe of righteousness. Amen. So just, you know, talking to the people of God and not screaming, but talking where you can comprehend to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to each one of y'all on a different level tonight. Because one may hear something totally different in the Spirit of God, a revelation totally different than what the other one have heard, but it does not mean it's not the same Spirit. It means that God can speak in many ways and still get the point across. Amen. Amen. So we didn't come to operate in the spirit of confusion, but we come in one accord, and like God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are all one. Amen. And they're not up there fighting with each other. Amen. So we're going to get back to the broadcast. My husband had some more insight, and we got 48 minutes left, and we just want y'all to take notes. And this goes for every last one of us. When the message came to me, it pricked my heart. Getting to know God is serious business. A lot of times people don't take God serious. And the only time they want to take him serious is when something happened. And what's that little slang thing they got out? OMG. Oh, my God. My Lord, help the church. Help the church, God. Help us. So, you know, that's just calling the Lord name in vain. So, all right, honey, come on.
Amen, amen, amen. That's so true. Amen. Before we went to break in, after we came back, as Apostle said, you know, we must be serious about God's business. I heard in my spirit as she speak when Jesus was 12 years old and his mother, though, left him when they realized he was gone. They came back, and I'm a paraphrase. His mother Mary, Jesus, why did you do what you do? And why did you, he said, woman, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Mm. Jesus said, I did not come to do my will, but I came to do the will of the Father. He said, I only say what my Father tells me to say, and only do what my Father tells me to do, that he might be glorified. He is our example.
Yes,
he is our example,
yes,
of a godly reverence, of a godly fear. He is our example, church. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I remember years ago when I get this, I get back to that. I remember years ago, I wrote a song God gave me. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like him. Word of God tells us, let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. The Bible say, I beseech you, brethren, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The divine nature, the reverence of God, the reverence, even to the point of death. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus said, nevertheless,
yes, yes.
Let not my will, but let thy will be done. Obedience is better than sacrifice. As me and my wife were speaking the other night, we were just sitting and fellowshipping, and God, you know, began to minister to me. You know, he speaks to me and asks me a question to ask him a question so I can get a revelation from him. Let me say that again. You be seeking a lot of times, the enemy ain't going to give you no godly thoughts. God will give us, speak to us, and then we say, Lord, you know, I was looking at that scripture, Lord, what that really mean? Then he'll give us a revelation. And I'm talking about Job. You remember the Bible said the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came there too. And the Lord asked Satan, with hence you come? He said, to and fro in the earth. Amen. And amen. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, hallelujah, you won't let me. I want somebody to get that revelation right. I don't know why God wanted me to speak that. You hear what the devil said? You won't let me.
My God.
We need to stop giving the devil more authority than he has. Jesus came back and the disciples came back to Jesus rejoicing and talking about even the demons are subject to us and all this right here. And Jesus said, you missed the whole point. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning.
Jesus.
He said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you in my name. Rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb books of heaven. If you are a child of the living God, Satan have no authority over you unless you give it to him. Amen. James say, when a man is drawn away, he's drawn away by his own lust. Amen.
Amen.
Now, once your lust draw you away, Satan, he'll jump on board then. But he has no power over you.
That's right.
Unless you yield to him. So Satan said to God, you have a hedge around Job. And God began to minister to me about that hedge. Because I knew what the hedge was, Lord. He said, you take that hedge down, and Job will curse you to your face.
That's what he said.
But God said, little did Satan know, he did not get the revelation. The hedge was Job's obedience.
Yes.
That's our obedience. Like I told you about the young boy, his daddy told him not to go out the house because that pet bull is still out in that neighborhood. If he was obedient, the dog couldn't have touched him, couldn't have done anything to him.
Amen.
Amen. And unless God allows it. So the obedience, God gave me the revelation. The head was Job's obedience. Amen. Now, before we went to break, we're gonna talk a little about different types of little fear, because we have to point out the difference. And we're going somewhere. We're not gonna rush this study. Me and my wife, we're gonna revisit this again. And we're praying and hoping and believing that this is gonna help somebody. Because it's helped me. Amen.
It's helping me.
Help us, the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Watch what I'm going to read to you. Y'all listen to me a little while. In the Old Testament, the fear of the Lord was something good and wholesome. The fountainhead of true wisdom. Let me read it to you. Proverbs 9:10 says this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. God said even a child can understand his word. When you become born again, God speaks to you on your level. But let me tell you something. Now, I made a statement one time to a brother. I said, who is the greatest teacher of all in the world? And he said it so quickly. He said, Jesus, man. Man, Jesus. And we all agree on that. So I asked the question. Jesus did not use big words.
He sure didn't.
Jesus used simple words where everybody could understand it.
You better preach.
When he talked to the farmers, he talked about planting seeds.
Yes.
When he talked to the vineyard dressers, he talked about the wine and different things. When he talked to fishermen, he talked about fish and being a fisherman.
Yes.
When he talked to the men that dealt with the wheat and all that, what I'm saying, you understand, he met them where they were.
Yes, he did.
Why so often in the church that we need a decoder when some preachers preach, they preach words that someone can't even understand, and all they have to say, the word say is go, but they want to get a big word.
Yes.
And he got upset with me. If we are following Jesus' example, why are we trying? No, don't get me wrong. Intelligence, education has its place. But when you are teaching or preaching to a vast majority of a broad group of men and women and children of God, I believe the Holy Ghost will speak in a way where God meets everyone where they are.
That's right.
But see, Paul said, you make the word of God of none effect.
Come, oh, Jesus.
You just shout over somebody's head, they don't even understand what you're talking about. But they're steady saying amen.
Come on.
You better watch what you amen to.
That's right.
You saying amen because we done got that old mimicking spirit. I'm still talking about the fear of God.
Yes.
We done got that old mimic spirit in the church now. It's protocol. Or we can act good. Amen. Amen. What did he do? And the sad thing, I remember, and it still goes on now, when we go to, so many go to church, and maybe I didn't go, or maybe you didn't go, and they come home from church, they're excited. Boy, that preacher preached today. Preacher so-and-so brought that word today. And then you ask, what did he preach about? I really don't remember, but he sure preached. How sad it is, church. Look what he just said. I really don't remember. That's so sad. Don't try to impress nobody. Have a reverence, respect of God. Will you speak the words of God with clarity?
Yes.
With understanding?
Yes.
Don't take for granted that someone is on your level.
Mm.
Who are you trying to impress? Amen. I don't know, that's for somebody. Now let's get back. Okay, let's get a little further now. In the Bible, there are four general categories of fear. Savage, demonic fear. Amen. We're going to talk about that one for a second. Remember I told you we were going to talk about that demonic fear. Watch this now. Listen to me closely. I'm going to John, 1 John, chapter 4, verse 18. Let's pick it up in verse 17 to get a clear understanding. Amen.
Amen.
Love, talking about agape love, unconditional love, not this old love the world trying to put together out here.
Amen.
You know, everything that God had, the devil always come with counterfeit. Everything God does, the devil always come with a counterfeit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God wants us to share his love. Amen. He woke up the chancellor. He didn't say he wanted us to let people use us, because you know people are telling you in a minute, you're supposed to be a Christian. The Bible says they can quote it. The Bible says if you see your neighbor in need, you're supposed to give it to him. Amen. Amen. But I thank God today for his word. So let's get to verse 18, talking about this demonic and in this savage fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out, because fear involves torment.
Yes.
But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, this fear spells the same way, but this fear is talking about being demonically afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you something now. This fear is designed to freeze you, to stop you from going forward in the things of God.
My God.
This fear, it puts you in a place to stop you from even coming to God and giving your life to God. This demonic fear has one root, but it has so many branches and so many limbs, and it produces so many demonic fruit.
Jesus.
We can name a few. This fear has some people don't even want to leave out their house.
Yes.
Won't even turn the lights on in their house. Amen. Let me show you. Terrors, for example, God gave me as terrors. See, the act itself is not their goal. 9/11. Come on, somebody. When they blew up the World Trade buildings, the Twin Towers. When they blew theirs up. See, everybody, it wasn't that. It was the aftermath. They did that to produce fear in the people of the United States of America.
Yes.
They wanted you to be scared to go to the airport. They wanted you, every time you see someone look like one from Arab or somebody from one of those countries, you begin to get paranoid and you begin to get fearful. See?
Somebody, there go one of them people.
There you go. But see, the fear, that is demonically situated.
Yes.
Amen. You got people, amen. I hope it ain't the church. You got people right now, I'm going to tell the truth. If they see a young man walk down the street with a hoodie on his head, they begin to lock them doors and get. I'm not saying that to protect yourself. I'm not saying that. But the enemy has you so afraid to do all type. Use wisdom, yes, when you go out in public. Use wisdom when you go shopping. Use wisdom when you are in this fallen world. We are not saying this. But I'm talking about this demonic fear that had you so paranoid that you won't even move. I heard they say that the lion in the jungle. They said the lion in the jungle, they said when he roars, his prey, they stop and freeze. The roar itself. The Bible says the devil walks about as a roaring lion. As, he's not a roaring lion now, as a roaring lion, seeking him who he may devour. But God wants us to have this demonic fear, where it will freeze us, where it will stop us from going forward in the things of God.
And also handicap us.
And it will, yeah, so it will handicap us. Amen. Watch what I wrote the Lord gave me tonight. Demonic fear is designed to keep you from moving forward, to freezing you in your tracks, and stop you from moving in the direction that God is calling you.
God is calling.
Amen. Okay, we're going to go a little further now. The fear of man. Ooh. It took me a while, and I raised my hand. I tell the truth. I'm not ashamed of my testimony. If someone got a problem with my testimony, they need to go to the altar and ask God to save them. Paul said it in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I believe. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power unto salvation, first to the Jew and to the Greek. And then you see all woven through Paul's letters. He weaves his testimony in his letters. Paul tells you in Galatians how he tried to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. But I love my brother when he said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me and ordained me to be a preacher to the Gentile. I'm just saying that I was incarcerated in the Department of Correction for 18 years, and during this period of time, a fear of man developed in my life.
Come on.
Because how I serve God. God was my savior. But see, how many of us, you know, I'm the only one deal with issues, you know. All everybody else in the body of Christ, they deliver. They don't have no issues in their life. They don't have no problems. See, that's the problem now with the church. Everybody go to church and act like they're so good. Oh, I'm all right. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I didn't ask you that. I'm asking you how you doing. I know you're blessed because you're a son or daughter of Christ. You're joint heir with Christ Jesus.
But how you doing?
I ask you how you doing, see? I dealt with that thing because I wanted to get out of prison. I didn't want to do nothing wrong. And so the enemy used that to give me a fear of man. And my wife, as a witness, my last experience with that was that, I'm not going to name the place, was in the visiting park. And we put some money in a vending machine to get our potato chip. And they got stuck. And I went shook the machine so the potato chip would drop. And an officer called me, and they let me know, oh, you're supposed to be going to work release? Don't you know I can take your work release from them? Oh, I don't get more. I heard it in my spirit. Don't get so holy in my mind. I heard you say it in the spirit. Oh, you trust in the law. You should have told them to take it. God gave it to me. No, I'm trying to help somebody. Stop fearing man. Amen. Stop fearing man. Let me go and read this scripture. But God is really moving in that area in my life. Amen. Thank you to the help of my pastor, Pastor Terrence Stevens, and my wife and others that are really God is using in my life. Amen. I thank you. Ain't nothing like sound doctrine. Ain't nothing like good fellowship. Ain't nothing like being with the men and women of God that truly love the Lord with no motives involved. Don't try to impress nobody. Ain't trying to be a fault finder. Ain't trying to be a Holy Ghost private investigator. Worry about everybody else's problem but their own. But just being transparent and showing the love of Christ and the reverence and fear of God. Proverbs 29, talking about this man's fear. Proverbs 29, 25. My wife wants to say something to me. The fear of man brings a sneer. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. See, men knowing if you fear them now, on jobs, you see how they manipulate you. They got old worldly term you're used to use. Boy, he ain't nothing but old tap dancer. He ain't nothing but old bootlicker. That time when them one sucking up to the balls, man, they scared. But how many of us know that the fear of man is a sneer? Why? Because you know what? Paul said, if I continue to be a man pleaser, I can never be the servant of the Lord. Because you haven't put man in God's place. He has become your God. Amen. You transfer that fear that you have of man and transform it and let God transform it into God wholesome, reverent fear for God. And worship God like you're worshiping that man. So scared of him. Yeah, no, God, that's not God. Amen. What you want to say, baby?
Just sitting here, you know, listening to what the Spirit of God is speaking on tonight. And, you know, the Bible tells us that God will lead us, the body of Christ, into all truth. And so if you ask the question, you say, okay, so God will lead us into all truth, then God... What is all truth? He said it is to uncover every lie of the enemy. every lie, all truth, every lie of the enemy, every lie. Not some lies. Because, see, one thing about God, if God ain't going to do it right, he ain't going to do it at all.
Amen.
And so, saints, what's in God? It has to be in us if we have the Spirit of God. Now, there are some people that have been blinded by the devil, has blinded their minds just as well as he has blinded their ability, their spiritual senses, to know the real, true Spirit of God. This topic is very rich. Amen. We are the sowers on tonight that is sowing into the kingdom of God so that God will be glorified. Not maybe, but he will be.
Mm-hmm.
He will get his glory and his honor. We're going to let my husband finish doing what he's doing for God, and then we're going to open up the lines. See if anybody have a prayer request or they want to ask a question about this topic of the night.
Okay. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle. Amen. That's so correctly. That's so true. Amen. Amen. I take this seriously, church. I take this seriously. We mean to start back reverencing. You know, I remember back in the, when I was coming up as a child, your parents taught you reverence and respect. Young kids could not sit up in the midst of older men and older men when they was talking, you know, talking mature talks.
Right.
Daddy didn't have to run you off. He would look at you and a fear would come over you. Not that you were scared of him like that I talked about, but no, you reverenced it because you know what he was saying.
Yeah.
Get back in your place.
Yeah.
We would see a funeral procession passed by, and we was taught as young boys to pull your hat off and be quiet. How far have the church fallen away? I'm not saying this in a racial term or nothing. What I have to say, I speak truth. I speak what the Holy Ghost put in my spirit. I remember years ago when we as African American, we call us Black America. I remember when we didn't have laws for us. I was a little boy in Clarendon County, Manning, South Carolina. When I saw the sign say for colors only, whites only. But what I'm getting at, back in those days when we would say that the authority had their feet on our neck, we looked out for each other because we had to, because that's all we had was each other. Men would work hard to take care of their families.
Yeah.
And Mr. Johnson might would come home, he'll do good for about 2 months and come home, or wouldn't come home, he'll go on what they call a drunken binge and mess up all the money. But those women would get together in that community and their husband would give them money, they would get food and stuff for Brother Johnson's family, and the men would get him after he done sold up a little bit and tell him, boy, get yourself together. You got to quit that. But they wouldn't go around talking about each other and laughing about them and putting them down like we do today. We don't reverence each other any longer.
That's the truth.
Because you know what? We don't reverence God.
Amen. That's it.
We go to church when we feel good. Mm. We go to church when we feel like it. And don't let the preacher preach too long. And don't let him ask for no money. We sit up in church and listen to a sermon, and at the same breath, we go out the door and talk behind the street, talk about the preacher behind his back. God need to take us, but we don't know how blessed we are in this country. You see all over the news in these countries how things is going on and how all kind of corruption is going on. But let's start reverencing. Let's start reverencing God. In his house, in his people, in his men of God and women of God that bring forth his word. We sit here and talk about them like it ain't nothing. And I heard David said it. God give us examples so broad and that we have no excuse why we do what we do. David had a legitimate reason to kill King Saul. Because King Saul was trying to kill him for nothing. But David reverenced God so much. When Saul went into the cave to relieve himself, David went in and cut a piece of Saul's robe off. And when Saul got out, David hollered and said, "Hey, I could have killed you." I'm paraphrasing. "Look, I got a piece of your robe, King Saul." But David got the revelation as he went on and went on. And when the servant came back after King Saul and his son Jonathan was killed in the battle, he came back and lied to King David. See, a fear man trying to suck up to David. "Oh, I killed King Saul for you, blah, blah." And David looked at him, said, "Did you not reverence God's anointing? Touch not my anointing," God said.
"Yes.
And do my prophets no harm."
Mm.
You better watch how you put your mouth on a man or woman of God.
Come on.
You better watch where they might be backsliding. They might be out there doing stuff, but you better watch how you put your mouth on them, because that's God's servant.
Well, I'm still married.
That's not your servant. And you're wondering why things in your family, things in your life ain't going right. What you need to do is pray for them, tell them, set you and you're having a gossip party over them. Amen. I don't know. I just put that out there because that's what the Holy Spirit just gave me to speak. Amen. But watch what I'm going to read a little further, and we're going to bring this ship in for a landing tonight, because we're going to, this topic is going to last for a little while. Now, fear in the spiritual realm. The fear of the Lord is the ladder. Ooh, glory. The Old Testament present the fear of the Lord as both a choice, huh? Amen. Let's see what Psalms 34:9 says. Amen.
Amen.
"Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him."
Oh, Jesus.
I know. When I'm walking in the obedience of God and doing what God tells me to do, it don't get me wrong, church, it don't eliminate trials, tests, and the ups and downs of this world, because we are in this world, but we are not of this world. What are you saying? Our mind should be transformed. Our mind should be meditating on the things of God. But I know when I'm obedient, there's a peace that comes over me. No matter what is going on around me, no matter what I face in the run of a day, I can feel the protection, the grace and mercy and the strength of God on my life. And I have a calm and a peace. Oh, so many of y'all can relate to what I'm saying. But the minute I know, nobody else don't have to know it. When I'm not praying like I should, when I'm not being obedient like I'm said, I feel so nervous. I don't feel that
confidence,
that confidence and that security that I have when I'm obedient. Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 1:29. I got 2 minutes and we're going. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to bring this ship in for a landing. Proverbs 1:29. "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." You hated the truth. Long as the preacher preaching what I want to hear. Long as they're saying what I want to hear. I'm amening all day.
Yeah.
But when he start preaching the unadulterated gospel about my sin and the mess I'm in, and God start bringing the conviction, I hate it. So really what I'm saying is, I hate what you're telling me, God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And as I finish, I'm going to bring it to a close. And a gift of God, importantly, his spirit. The fear of God is a choice, in that it involves the decision of our will to respond to the gracious invitation of God's word and spirit. Only as we truly fear the Lord, we will be delivered from slavery to all abominable and demonic fears. I told you I was talking about demonic fear. Until we surrender fully to the Lord and do it his way, once we do that, we will be delivered completely from all the demonic fears. I thank the Lord for this section of the fear of the Lord tonight. On our next time when my wife comes up, we're going to talk about the meaning of the fear of the Lord. God bless y'all. God bless the hearers and the readers of his word. He bless you tonight. I thank y'all. I thank the Lord for this opportunity and this privilege. God bless you and your loved ones. In Jesus' name, good night.
Amen. I would like to say something because we're going to have a open line tonight for ones that really, really, really want to get to know God, because this is serious business. You got people in this world where they take their business very serious. They money-making flow train. They moolah dinero, ching ching. Yes, they take that very serious. So, and they take the natural things more serious than godly things. And I'm talking about church folks. We're not talking about the sinner man, because that's in their nature. Demonic fear also, I would like to touch in that area by the Holy Spirit. When you're dealing with demonic fear, and you know you're not spending time in the presence of the Lord, and you're dealing with some things, whether you sleep and you feel like something is holding you down, or you heard the demon walk in the room, but you couldn't see it. But as soon as you close your eyes, it attacked you. I have been through that. So the Lord told me to touch in that area right there. Are you still having perverted dreams?
Mm-hmm.
This is all demonic fear. Wake up in night sweat, sweating. Excuse me. Night sweat and sweating. The Lord is giving you a word of wisdom on tonight. God is giving you an open container of his knowledge on tonight, that you may take this and you may drink. You may drink wisdom and swallow it with understanding. Okay? So listen. If you are still having perverted dreams after that you have received the Spirit of God, and you can feel that same familiar spirit that you felt when you was out there in the world working for Satan, living for him, and now that you're on God's side, this demon is still tormenting you. The answer is that you're more caught up in this spirit that keeps coming against you than you are more caught up in the presence of God. Yes, I'm talking from experience, people of God. I'm not talking from no book nobody wrote. Glory be to God. I'm talking from experience. I'll never forget, I was in my late 20s. I didn't know who God was. I knew of him, but I didn't know who God really was. The reason why I say I know of him is because I had a different experience with him, but never had an intimate relationship with him. So what I'm saying, at the age of my late 20s, I never forget, I was laying in the room on my back. My husband was still locked up at the time. This was in 2003. I heard this demon flew through my window. My window was up. And when it flew in, I had a hard tile floors. And I laid there because I didn't understand it. And some of you are not understanding it, but I hear the Lord saying that if you just take these instructions on tonight, that this chain will be broken, because there are fasts that the Lord has ordained to bind the strong man and to loose his grip off of your spirit. So as I was laying there, this demon was so big. People of God, hear me out. I've seen demons anywhere from the size of a bumblebee all the way up to about maybe 100 feet or more. I have encountered it. And it's because the ministry that is, the mantle that is upon my life and the anointing, the weight of the anointing and the degree and the rank that God has placed upon me, too much is given, much is required. It ain't nothing to brag about. Please hear me. If you ain't got God, you'll be sleeping with one eye open and one closed. Because when you hear something in your room that you can't see, you ain't going to tell me nothing different. I'm scared. But I thank God for God bringing me out. And as the demon was dragging his feet on the floor, I heard changes. It had a change. It had like feathers. And it was dragging on the floor. And I was so scared. And I was laying there. Because I never been through no spiritual warfare like that. And I know of God, but I didn't even know what to say. And the demon turned around because he was in my front room. And it turned around and it looked at me. When it looked at me, I was laying on my back. And it charged me. It jumped on top of me, tried to choke me. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, call Jesus. I called Jesus. I never had that problem again. What I'm telling you that when you start getting to know God, God will uncover every lie of the enemy. Things that you think that is of God is not of God. Things that you think that God have been holding over your head or punishing you or want to see you suffer. No. God told the prophet Jeremiah, the 29th chapter and 11th verse, he said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Amen. Jeremiah, he was going through something spiritually. He was going through some words that the enemy was speaking in his ear. He had done got discouraged about some things that was bothering him, that was just trying to weigh him down. But God came to Jeremiah and he spoke a prophetic word. I know the thoughts that I think about you, Jeremiah, that I think about you, Peter, that I think about you, Mary, that I think about you, Tanya, that I think about you, Joanne, that I think about you. Thoughts of peace, not to harm you. And I just want y'all to know that when we go through suffering, suffering is not, it's not a tool where God wants to harm you. Suffering is the tool for God to develop you. The enemy wants to harm us. He wants to slander us. He is the false accuser of the brethren constantly. And he even used some of the people in the body of Christ to release false accusations, words of slander against God's anointed. But even though that spirit of slander was formed against you, it did not prosper because of the anointing. It's the one that destroys and breaks every yoke. Yes, we will all go through. We will all go through our suffering process. But don't think God trying to hurt you or harm you. So I'm going to open up the lines. We got like 6 minutes on the line. I'm going to open up the lines. And if you have anything that you want to get prayer for or anything concerning this topic, don't be shy, people of God. All right, praise God. The lines are open. Just let me know what area code you're calling from. Nobody wants to say nothing. Don't be nervous now. Whoever that laughing, I heard you laugh. Come on now, let God use you as a testimony. Come on.
Apostle, this is Sister Carmen.
Praise God, how are you doing?
Good. I heard everything your husband said tonight. It is a blessing. And I wrote most of the things down, but I'll go on it later and read it again. about fear, because I know at one time or the other I struggled with fear. Not like I used to anymore, because I have grew a lot with that. But that's nothing but the enemy. And like he said, just some things that like you said, that that we need to go through so that we can get strengthened. But it's so true. But I do want to mention that I don't know if it's the same thing that what you're talking. I don't fear like I used to, but I do fear when it comes to the children.
Your kids.
Like with their behavior. I mean, I just, I don't know sometimes if I should do this, if I should say this or do this, or should I leave it alone, and if I should do this, what would happen is, and I know that's not of God.
Right.
So I don't know if I should just, if I do a little bit too much, will I be like falling into the trap? It's like a little fear there.
Okay, you're talking about like, okay, so if I may ask, and with this behavior concerning your kids, is it like an outrage or something of that sort?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't have to call their name, but which sibling is it? The first, second, or third, or is it all of them?
Will you repeat that again?
Which kid is it? Is it your first generation, your second generation, your third, fourth, or fifth?
The first.
Okay, your oldest daughter?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, God just spoke to me. God said your oldest daughter. That's why I said that. So with that situation right there, Prophet Carmen, when dealing with your kids, and we know that the enemy tries to use the closest thing to us that we love, and you know that you're dealing with the spirit of unforgiveness, because anytime you catch a person always nitpicking with you and always arguing with you, they are dealing with the spirit of unforgiveness, which bursts out anger. They like to bring up stuff from the past, say that you wasn't this type of parent, so forth and so on. So what you would want to do, you just want to just keep humble. I heard God say, stay humble like you do, and just keep it before the Lord without fear, because see, one thing about it is that God didn't create you to fear your daughter or that thing that is in her that is causing her to keep coming against you. And I just want you to know that is the unclean spirit. Forgiveness is the main rule, which ties in with the spirit of rejection. So all you got to do is just stand in your confidence, stand in faith. Amen. And just believe that God has already turned that situation around.
Amen.
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 I hope that you got your answer on tonight. Yes. Don't try to figure out how to become your daughter's friend. I heard God just say that. But you keep showing yourself friendly to her, because love covers a multitude of sin.
Amen.
And even though you get weary sometimes, just remember that God will extend you a more grace to know how to deal with your child.
Amen.
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 Would there be anybody else? You're welcome. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? We got 1 minute now. So I can do more than 1 second or before 1 second. Anybody?
Amen. God bless you. I'm calling from area code 612, which is Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I listened to your session on tonight, Amen, on fear, and I was truly blessed by it. I like the examples. They really tied in with the lesson. Where you could really get some clarity. And I at one time dealt with fear when I first got saved, but I've been saved many, many years now, and I've learned to overcome it. But at one time, fear was my enemy, but I thank God that it is defeated in my life. And I just want to say I just truly enjoyed the session on tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What is your name?
I am Pastor Barbara Miles.
Well, praise the Lord. How you doing?
I'm blessed, amen, and enjoying Jesus, amen.
Amen. I be seeing you on Facebook, and praise the Lord. I be seeing the line of Judah be watching. Amen.
Amen.
God for you, Pastor Barbara. Amen. She gave her testimony on tonight, and she was just encouraging each individual that is dealing with some type of fear. She was giving her testimony of triumph for what God did and how he did it. Well,
yes,
saints,
Lord.
Listen, we got 24 seconds. And I just want y'all to know that God is love, for real, for real. Look, be blessed. This is Apostle Gamble and my husband, Elder Flynn Gamble. We're going to be coming by Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. We want y'all to know that we love y'all in the name of Jesus. And y'all have a wonderful night at End Times Deliverance Ministry. Good night, people of God.
Good night.
Yeah, they still have that. They can hear us.